the preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hello listeners, this is the Power of Endless Life, brought to you courtesy of Plumet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. Our goal on this program is to present to you Christ, His cross, and His church. I am your host, John Adichoro Olua. Glad that we have the opportunity to share again today as we read from the scripture we've been sharing with you from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Remember, we've been dealing with the first principles of the oracles of God, the foundational truths that are necessary for us to move on unto perfection. So let's read together again. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we do if God permit. Like we said, we've been dealing with these issues. We are on the seventh issue now, that of eternal judgment. And we trust that the Lord will bless us again today. Remember, these things are the first principles of the oracles of God, of a foundational truth that we need to have in our lives for us to be able to move on in the things of God. So it's important that we have them, we know them, we're informed of these things, but we're also formed, that Christ may be formed in us by knowing these things. That's what is important. We emphasize that it's not just for us to be informed, but that the Christ may be formed in us, in our souls. That's the essence. Last week, we look at the nature and the character of God as the judge. We look at the position of Jesus as our mediator, the position of his blood. We look at the character of God as the God who, his character is not just to judge us, to punish us, but his character is to save us. And that he has gone ahead to commit all judgment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did that not because God wants to avoid judging us or because he's afraid judging us, but because he has committed judgment into his Son, who is also the Son of Man. So he's the Son of God, he's Son of Man. He's truly God and he's truly man. So therefore, he can enter into the two worlds and bring judgment to us as man, who knows our weaknesses and our infirmities. And we said to you that we must understand these two aspects of God, his mercy and his truth, his goodness and his severity. Both are combined in God for us. And so we want to also see today how the Lord will move us forward in this. I want us to go to what Jesus said in John chapter 16. We have seen that God the Father is the judge of all, but then he has committed all judgment to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's also the Son of Man. And then we now want to see what the Lord himself said about Holy Spirit, the place of the Holy Spirit in this. And I want us to go to John chapter 16, and I want to read from verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So we see here again being said, the Lord Jesus Christ talking about the role of the Holy Spirit. Now the first thing I want to say of sin, now you see here he said, when the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, come, he will reprove the world of sin. The word reprove means to expose the iniquity, the evil, the wickedness of sin, to bring it to light, to convict us, if you like, is to bring conviction. It will make a sinner see his position as a sinner. You see, a man cannot repent except the Holy Spirit convicts him. A man cannot repent. A believer cannot repent of certain things except he has the light of the Holy Ghost. So also for an unbeliever, a sinner, he cannot repent except the Holy Spirit convicts him to repent. So that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what he means to reproof. And then he says, and of righteousness, because I go unto my Father, ye shall see me no more. That has to do with the church. Because he goes, it's the Holy Spirit that will show us the way of righteousness, the way of living right. And that's why you will see Holy Spirit will correct us. And that's where God's correction comes in. That's where God rebukes comes in. In other words, to correct us so that we can be partakers, like the scripture say, you can become partakers of his holiness. The Holy Spirit will correct us. We'll see this in the book of Hebrews again. And I like us to see that because we need to have a grasp of this. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 12 again. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastiseth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So we see here the essence of correction that Holy Spirit bring upon us as the sons in the house. As God's children in his house. We've shown you the same Hebrews chapter 12 verse 24 when we're talking about we're come unto Messiah, which is the church of the living God. So he said God in his house has to correct us. It's not every time that judgment is negative. Sometimes the word judgment means to put in order. It means to correct. It means to bring order into our lives, to bring order out of disorder, to put things in place. Sometimes that word, judgment, means this. But it says here, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he hath. So the reason why the Father corrects us, chastises us, is because we are his sons and daughters, and because he has received us. It's not because he's rejecting us. It's not because he's throwing us away. And because there are many people who suffer from rejection, spirit of rejection. They consider correction as rejection. They consider rebuke as rejection. If you have that mentality, if you have that mindset, if you have that covering over you, that covering needs to be taken away. So that you will see when even God corrects you, it's not that he's rejecting you. It's because he has received you. The same thing must go into our relationship, particularly with those who have spiritual authority and responsibility over. When they rebuke us, it should not be out of the fact that they are rejecting us, or they don't like to see us, or they are just endearing us. No, they should rebuke us out of the heart of God, because they have received us, because we are loved by God. It's important that we understand it. Those whom God will use to correct his people must understand this, and those who must receive correction must also understand this. And in verse 7, it says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with son. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, wherefore all are partaker, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, verse 9, we have had fathers of our flesh, those our natural father, which corrected us, and we gave them reference. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirit and live? Verse 10, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for what? Our profit, that we might be what? Partakers of his holiness. This is what he's saying. Verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So we see here that issue of righteousness in the church comes as the Holy Spirit corrects us, as the Holy Spirit chastises us, but not out of rejection, not out of anger, not out of throwing us away. It's out of his love, because we are received, because we are son, and he's doing it for our own profit. We need to understand this. And then the next thing Jesus said in that John chapter 16, when he talks about judgment, he said of judgment. Why? Verse 11, of judgment, because what? The prince of this world is judged. So we see one of the things that God judges, like we have seen here, is to judge spirits, demons, unclean spirit. That's one of the things also that Holy Spirit is in the church to judge. Because these ones, they come to hinder the purpose of God. They come to hinder the plan of God. They come to make us, to derail us from following God. They come to confuse us. They come to deceive us. And that's why deliverance ministration is very important. To judge spirits, to judge demons that will come and compete with God in our lives. That's the reason why Jesus said judge demons and spirits many, many, many times. So it is important. God is after. Let's remember, for instance, when Jesus said to the disciple before he went to the cross, I'm going to die. And Peter said, God forbid you will not. Peter Peter was doing that out of his own personal survival instincts. He felt that he had left everything, followed Jesus for 3 years, and Jesus was going to die. How was he going to start life all over again? But he didn't realize that Satan was using that his flesh to speak, to say no. And the Lord said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, because you do not savor, you do not approve things that are of God." Now, he was not just talking to Peter. He was talking both to Peter and was talking to the devil. That's the judgment. The Holy Spirit has come also to exercise. If a man is not in the Spirit, like us today, if you are not in the Spirit, and Peter has said that thing as if maybe you are the pastor, you won't die, why should you do that? Normally, you feel that he loved you. He loves you. That's why he's saying that. But the Lord knew from the Spirit that that's not of God. So that's the judgment. God is more interested in judging spirits and demons, like he judged the angels. So he's more interested. That's what the Holy Spirit is here to do, to convict sinners so that they can be saved, to convict them of their sins and expose them and convict them. And without the conviction, and without the power of the Holy Spirit convicting sinners, they can never repent. That's why the Bible, you were dead in trespasses and sin, had he quickened and made alive by what? By the Spirit of God. And so in the church is to bring correction so that we can be partaker of his holiness and righteousness in the church. And then is to judge the enemy. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to empower the church, to judge spirits, to judge demons, so that we can follow God. I hope that you understand this. We are talking about eternal judgment. And it's important we understand this. You see, if we don't submit to God's correction and God's chastisement, although we are making ourselves not available or presenting ourselves for judgment that is not necessarily God's desire for us, if we don't make room for Holy Spirit to judge demons and spirit, they will hinder us and derail us from following God, and then we'll make ourselves available for judgment that is meant for them. I hope you understand. I ask that the Lord will bless us as we go on and as we look at the Word of God. Now, I want to go back again and say, if God has to judge, how does he judge? I want us to go to the book of Romans, and we'll see about four things that are important when God is judging. So I want us to go to Romans chapter 2, and I want to read for us verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2. He said, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest dost the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things." Now here, Paul was talking to religious people, Pharisees, who pronounce judgment on others, and they go ahead to do the same thing that they are judging in others. That's what he's saying. Such people are inexcusable. Whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. That's man's judgment. We judge other people. We are blind to our own mistakes and faults. And I'm not saying we should not judge, because the scripture says those who are spiritual, they judge all things. And we must have people who are mature in the church who should judge. We have people who are mature, who are in the spirit, walk in the spirit, who must bring God's judgment into every situation, bring the heart of God to bear in every situation. But when we judge wrongly, God says we do not represent him. But then in that verse 2, he says, "But we are sure that judgment of God is according to truth." God does not judge outside his truth. That's the first thing I want you to understand. God's judgment is according to the truth. And again, what is the truth? Truth is not just for us and for the scripture. The truth is not just facts. Truth is a person. In other words, in the book of Acts, and I think we should look at that for us to understand here, Acts chapter 17. I want us to see what he says in Acts chapter 17. This will help us to understand what we're talking here about judgment. Acts 17, and I want to read from verse 30. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he had appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in what? In righteousness, by that man whom he had ordained, whereof he had given assurance to all men, in that he had raised him from the dead." Now, what the scripture is trying to convey to us is this, that God's judgment is according to the truth, and that truth is a person. The yardstick of God judging man is the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether we measure up to him, that's God's judgment. God judges us according to the person of the Lord Jesus. What do I mean? He puts me side by side with his son. I say, look at my son. That is my standard. That is my measurement. That's what I want. That's what I desire. And he puts us side by side by him. I say, look at him. I want you to measure up with him. So that's why our judgment must be according to the truth, not just facts. You know, you can take one scripture from Genesis, another one from Habakkuk, and just throw it at people. God's judgment is according to the truth. That truth is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we should not be religious people when we judge people and we are not judging ourselves. One of the things we are going to bring in this way is scripture says we should first judge ourselves so that we will not be judged with the world. Judge ourselves according to the truth. What is the truth? Truth is a person, the person of Jesus Christ. God has set him up by which he will judge the whole world. God is not going to, he just said, look at my son. Do you measure up to him? And that's why we trust that our encouragement is to walk, to be like him, for Christ to be formed in us, to become like him. Then the next thing I want you to see in also in that Romans chapter 2, verse 6. Romans chapter 2, verse 6. He says there again in that Romans chapter 2, verse 6, and he says, who will render to every man according to his deeds. So we see the next issue about God's judgment. He will judge according to the truth. The next thing is that he will render to every man according to his deeds. God will not measure to you beyond or below your deeds. This is not what any man can achieve. It's not what any man can achieve. It takes God to judge us according to our deeds, exactly according to our deeds. And it's important that we take this further a little bit because we want to see the whole truth here. But before we go on, let me also read for us from 1 Peter 1:17. Remember, we're dealing with eternal judgment and we're looking at how to apply this into our own lives. And then let us look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. I read again. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now, Peter is saying that God will judge first without respect persons. We'll come that again. But Peter, I want us to see again, to judge man according to every man's work, according to what you have done. God is going to bring judgment according to what you have done. That is the basis of his judgment. I'll read again for us in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. And it says this, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to what? To their works. In other words, your whole life history is before God. Everything you do is written in this book. You remember in the ancient time, they don't have books the way we have books. They have scrolls. So it means God will unscroll this thing that day and open it up, and everything that we have ever done is written in that scroll. Every day, there's a song I like. It says, in heaven, you are making a record. Every day, as you live your life. If we should put this in our heart, we will know that if God offers us repentance, if God offers us to be disciplined in the church, for us to be righteous, and we ignore that, what do we do? God is going to judge us according to what? To our deeds, our works, exactly according to the truth. He's going to judge us. Now, but it's not just according to our deeds. The scripture says also God is going to judge us according to the secrets. Now, let's look at that again in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Let's look at that quickly as we see Romans chapter 2 and see this aspect of God's word. Romans chapter 2, we are going to read verse 16. And this is what it says. In that day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now we've come to that again. In other words, it's not just our deeds that God will look at and judge, but God is also going to judge what? The secret things. The things that nobody knows. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So by Jesus Christ, the issue again is the Lord Jesus Christ is the standard. Is the standard of God's judgment. He will just put us side by side with him and say, see my son, do you measure up to my son? We see again. But the point I'm saying, it's not just our actions that is open to God's judgment, but the things in our heart. the secret thing. And that's why, as believers, we must not only seek to act well, but we must seek to think well. Because blessed are the pure in heart, for there is the kingdom of God. So we must allow God to do a work in us, so that our inner thought, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, God. He said, let the wicked man forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. Our inner feelings and thoughts, things in our heart that is not seen by physical eyes, the interior, the inside of us. The scripture says the king's daughter is glorious within, inside, to know the truth in the inward part. That is why it's important that we surrender to God and let God deal with the inside of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 also say this. Remember, listener, we're dealing with the issue of eternal judgment. We've looked at God's character and we're still looking at it. But we're looking also at how he judges. We're laying the foundation for some other things we'll be saying to you in the days ahead. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want to read verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to the light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts. And then shall every man have a praise of God. So you see here, what will God be judging? To bring to the light hidden things of darkness. Things that we have not opened up or confessed to God and let God deal with. That we think they are hidden. They are not hidden from God. Things of darkness. I will counsel God's people that let there be no darkness. Let there be no dark spot in your life. Because if you do, God is going to expose it one day. If he doesn't expose it, if you don't allow him to deal with it now, it's going to be exposed openly one day. We're going to see this. Things of darkness, and will make manifest even the counsel of the heart. The reason why we do what we do, and then shall every man have the praise of God. In other words, it is in this journey everybody will understand God's way and why he's doing that. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. We're still looking at this God's judgment, not just our deeds, but also our hearts. And let's see what he says in Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll add that to our understanding today. Hebrews chapter 4, and I want to read verse 12 and 13. It says here, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Listener, the issue that I'm bringing here again before you is to see the fact that now I can allow God to judge me. The scripture said there are those who have allowed God to judge them now, and that those, their sins are going to wait for them. I can allow God to judge me now. I can allow the word of God, the sword of the spirit, to pierce me, to get into my heart, the intents of my heart, the corners of my heart, and bring dark things out, and I can repent of it and put them up. And I can keep it and wait until that day when God will bring it out. Which one do you choose, listener? This is the issue we are bringing before you. Now, there are other things about God's judgment, and we are running out of time again. I want to quickly add this. We also see in that scripture we have read, it says that Romans chapter 2, verse 11, we have read it also in 1 Peter before, and it's talking about God judged without respect. Let me just read Romans 2, 11, and it says this. For there's no respect of persons with God. That means when God judges, he does not respect persons. When it is man's judgment, we can't bring judgment based on race, on religion, on profession, on position, on physical appearance, wealth, education, favor that we have received or favor that we intend to receive from people. And that can really, really affect our judgment and color our judgment. But the scripture says that God judges without respect person. That is God's judgment. And finally, it says God judge us according to the light we have. And you see also that in Romans chapter 2, verse 12. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many have seen in the law shall be judged by the law. So we see here, what he's saying here is this, that God will judge us according to the light we have received. Okay, one, moral light we have received. Two, spiritual light that we have received. God will not judge you beyond the light you have received or below the light you have received. You are going to be judged according to the light that you have received. It's important we understand this, we work in this. The one of the scripture I just want to show to us is that also God judges us according to what we have seen in nature. Nature is a teacher, and nature teaches us. You will see this in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. for the visible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, and so that ye are without excuse. Now, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul was talking there, he says, even the nature, doesn't even nature teach you? So we see here that God is saying his judgment will be based on the light we have received, other moral light we have received, and we are going to be judged by also spiritual light we have received. We are going to be judged also by what nature has communicated to us. Because in 1 Corinthians 11, like I said, it's even nature, doesn't even nature teach you that certain things are not proper, certain things are not right. So man is without excuse when it comes to God's judgment. Nature, moral, the light we have received, spiritual light we have received, nature, things around us, even our nature. In fact, the Bible says our conscience excusing us or accusing us. And those who did not even have the law of Moses, is that they had the conscience to judge them. God is going to judge them by their consciences. What did they do with when their conscience was either accusing them or excusing them? So God, man is going to judge by that. And then Jesus said, of course, remember Jesus was talking about the cities in Matthew chapter 11, verse 20 and 24, when he was saying, woe to you, and mentioned the city. And in other words, he's speaking, I would like to read that so that we can have a understanding. It's important that God will not only judge individuals, but God is also going to judge even cities. He's going to judge nations. We shared this with you last week, that God will judge cities, will judge nations. We talk about goat nations and sheep nations. And so in Matthew chapter 11, verse 20 and 24, it says this, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty work which have been done in thee has been done in Sodom, it will have remained to this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. So we see here Jesus also is talking about judgment for cities that have been given so much opportunity, particularly Capernaum. That's where Jesus started his headquarters. And so they saw Jesus, they saw miracles, they saw my, but they refused to repent. And then he's saying that it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment, because they have been given so much opportunity, but they refuse to repent. So the light you have given, the opportunity you have given, the privileges we are given, the responsibility we are given, all this will be the yardstick for God's judgment. And of course, the Lord said in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, he said, to whom more is given, more is required. So we see that judgment of God is based on the truth, is based on our deeds, is based on the things in our heart, is based on the light God has given to us, moral light, spiritual light, responsibility, privileges, positions that God has given to us are going to determine what God will judge us with. Capernaum was given great opportunity, but he didn't make use of it. And Jesus said, it will be more tolerable that day. I pray that the Lord will bless you. I pray that the teaching we have brought to you again will be a blessing to you. Not a judgment, but will be a means of repentance, a means of judging yourself, so that you and I will not be judged or condemned with the world. God bless you.
This message, The Power of Endless Life, is brought to you courtesy Plummet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. You can call us on these phone numbers, 0803-392-2585 and 0706-3890-315. I take it again, 0803-392-2585, 0706-3890-315. You can also send us an email through the following email addresses: endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. I take it again, endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, www.plummetmission.org. The signature tune is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 of King James Version. Thanks to our regular host, John Adejorolua, our producers and our sound engineers. Please join us again, same time next week, and God bless you.
For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness.